about workforce management. Why is it so inconsistent?
Construction's hard.
Why are we here? That's a great question. But we are here to talk about workforce management and helping people understand what that truly entails. I think a lot of people are gathering what it means, but the biggest and hardest thing is trying to convey in conversation or when we work with these groups over the course of years, truly what all falls under that umbrella. You can look up workforce management and you can find definitions from different companies that say the process by which employers strategically allocate people and resources to maximize individual efficiency and effectiveness. But what the hell does that mean? What does that mean when we take this workforce management concept and we put it specifically into construction? Yeah. And I think the first thing we should talk about, and I want to throw it over to you, is why are we here? Why is workforce management what we're talking about? Why are we not talking about fucking BIM and all this other stuff and prefab and all these other things that are these hot topics, the damn robot going around the job site? Why are we not talking about that stuff? Why are we still here talking about workforce management? Why is it so inconsistent?
Construction's hard, right? That's the scapegoat. That's always the easy way out. Construction's hard. There's too many variables. Who can really sit down and claim that they're able to plan out a project from start to finish and stick to that plan? And so if you've never done it and you've never really put it into practice across your entire company consistently, then you have really little to gauge your processes off of. Should I proceed the way we've always proceeded with projects from start to finish, or should I look at a different route? Well, you know, there are other ways of doing things, and doing the same thing over and over, you're not going to get a different result. You're going to continue to have struggles with margin fade. You're going to have struggles with labor shortages. And a lot of it will come back to it because you didn't take the time to really put together a real solid plan.
I think there's a big piece of the inconsistency we hear a lot. We do this on some jobs, but not on others.
Well, why not? When I hear that from a contractor, right away that tells me that you do not have a very good training program or you have no program at all, right? I mean, if you're allowed to do things on one job that aren't allowed on another, where's the training? Where's the discipline?
You remember,
you know, who's being held accountable, right? No one. Including the executives, because they haven't.
It's a scapegoat for the executive. Yeah. That's a big thing that it gets. Yeah. Oh, it makes me mad coming from the Army, especially is when you remember, I won't say the name. We don't have a process for that. We hire smart people and we let them do it however they see fit.
Yeah.
What a fucking joke. That's a scapegoat from a leadership team that doesn't want to actually get into the weeds and figure out how to fix these things in the long haul. And that this group we're talking about, by the way, they're pretty big. They're an industry leader, and they are spiraling out of control, and they know it. And until they acknowledge that fact, that they don't standardize or at least put guide rails up for how their people are supposed to do this stuff, they're never going to come out of it. They're just going to keep tumbling down that hill until finally.
Well, yeah, what happens is, I mean, they've been doing that for a long time, right? And they've had good jobs and bad jobs, and they get lucky. And they have a bell ringer. They make a lot of money on a particular job, and that rights the ship. And then take off down the same path again. Right? And a lot of companies operate that way. I would say more companies operate that way than the way we're talking about with the proper planning and execution the way it could be.
Yeah, and you can get by, you can do well, but then when you grow to certain scales like this group we're referencing, that's when things get apparent. And that's when things get, hey, there's really something here that we can't just keep. You get the data, and you get to look at a scale where why is this happening? Why are we still having problems in this area? And we can't get by, as you mentioned, with the same old method, doing things the same way. But this workforce management idea, the inconsistency, I think there's something about the visual aspect. And I'm a very visual person, so I want to see it. If I can see it, I can start to conquer the problem or at least conceptualize the problem. And if we think about workforce management, I think there's a huge piece of we can't see it because it's actually spread out all over the company. It's all over the place, and it's in different spreadsheets, it's in different job boards, it's in different people's heads. So how do we ever actually pull it all together to be able to visualize it? If we ask somebody to visualize fab shop operations or BIM modeling ideas. We literally have a vision of things we can see. You ask them to do it with workforce management, and no, most companies have never had the opportunity to see workforce management.
The funny part about that is you talk about visualization. A lot of times these project plans are put together at the estimating stage, trying to put together a composite wage rate for a job. You know, you're painting the picture. You're assigning people for certain durations at different wage rates, and you are actually putting together that visual that you're talking about, but no one ever sees the visual, right? The visual is buried. When it could be brought to the surface and be a very powerful tool. So a lot of contractors are doing this planning, and once the job is awarded, they're not taking that information they did on the front end and turning it into a visual, because I agree with you. You know, that's one of the biggest flaws of I think, the industry, is that the lack of visual representation of what's going on with labor management, right? I don't know anybody that can do it any other way. I have to have a visual. I want to see that bell curve. I want to see how we're tracking. You take spreadsheets upon spreadsheets of numbers and numbers. Who can really say that they're smart enough or visual enough to be able to translate that into something that's meaningful? I just don't believe it.
There's a reason we have graphs and not just a bunch of numbers. We've got to visualize this stuff. Let's go into, you mentioned spreadsheets. Spreadsheets upon spreadsheets, numbers and numbers. One of my favorite quotes from a contractor was, "We are in spreadsheet hell right now." And we're getting into talking about why workforce management is so inconsistent, why we do it on some jobs, not others. We're talking about visualization. We can start to visualize it on different spreadsheets, on different tools. You want to see the bell curve. I want to see this. But even when we start to visualize it, we have our people seeing it in different ways. They all have their own way of visualizing it. And I'm a big proponent of the concept of language and standardizing language. So when our people start to see it in their own way, they start to speak their own little language, and all of a sudden it becomes harder to come together and plan the whole workforce out, because we've got these little silos or the fiefdoms.
Companies have large accounting departments, bigger contractors. Can you imagine that you have, say, six people in your accounting department and there's no platform? And you have six individuals running their own spreadsheet, right? They've got their spreadsheet that they have designed, and that's what they're in charge of, and that's how they keep track of the finances of the company. There's no platform. How could they possibly ever bring that together and paint a true financial picture? It's impossible, right? Well, that's exactly what we're doing in the labor management side. You have project managers with spreadsheets. You have superintendents with spreadsheets. They're all tracking different things in their own way. And there's no collaboration, very little collaboration, very little consistency, if any. No transparency to speak of.
Yeah, don't touch, don't look at my spreadsheet.
And no, not to mention training. It's a mess.
And when you try to train without a platform, without a place to consolidate it, without a place to visualize it, It's your sparklers.
Okay. Well, my company is, think of it as a pizza pie, right? I have a platform in the accounting department. I have a platform in tool management. I have a platform for safety. I have a platform for estimating. Well, 50% of what I do as an electrical contractor is labor. And if I don't have a platform, I don't have a crust underneath that 50% of my company. All the other ones do. And I can't tie that half of that pizza into the other half. It's a mess. It's an absolute mess, right? And it's all over the place, and there's nothing consistent about it. And if I don't have any consistency or any platform to stand on, a foundation, I can't train. And if I can't train, then I can't have consistency across project to project. When I do try to train, because everyone knows we need training. You hear that all the time. We need training. We need training. We need to train. Okay, what are you going to train on? And how sustainable is your training program, right? And that's what you're talking about when you're talking about the sparklers, right? Let's train on this today, Brian. This is a good idea. We need to train on this. So we do. And then 6 months from now, who remembers that we need a refresher course? Who remembers that we've had new hires? to come in, and we lit that sparkler you're talking about, where you get a bright idea. We need to do this, and you light that sparkler, and it runs really hot at the beginning. Everybody's really impressed, and then the balls start falling through the cracks, and that sparkler goes out, and it cost you a bunch of money. You might have got a benefit in the short haul, but it did nothing for you over the long haul.
Well, and where do you go to assess the effectiveness of the training down the road to see if it even took hold or if it was effective? I think it's worth making a comment or pointing out, by the way, that Excel spreadsheets, immaculate tools, but they're not a platform. There's very different things. They're not a tool fit to the task. So when we do try to train on them, we're not putting the crust underneath. We're putting a saltine cracker underneath. It's not actually made to support these operations. So we're training and we're trying to get a halfway visual aid, trying to get a place, you know, set there, but it's not fit to the task. So all the steps and the processes are still loose.
I think it's also, you should be noted that you can't integrate a platform with other platforms. Like you can if you have.
You can't integrate a spreadsheet with other platforms.
You can't integrate a spreadsheet with a platform, but you can integrate a platform with another platform. That's what makes the crust, the pizza, the whole, mm-hmm. right? Is that collaboration across multiple platforms.
We're talking about really supporting platforms, everything. We're hitting on sustainability. This labor management aspect, this workforce management piece of the business, it's always been there. We're going to get into a second here that this is not a new problem, but it's not sustainable today. We don't have a long-term strategy. We have a bunch of tactics. We have a bunch of sparklers. Tactics don't win wars. Strategies win wars. And we have a bunch of tactics right now, but when we don't look at workforce management as a whole, when we don't put the pieces together and the platforms and the steps and consolidate it and train on it sustainably, it's just the noise before defeat. And that's what we see in these companies too. Like you mentioned, we have all these tactics, we're reacting, we have all these people trying to fix it. It's not a new problem, but it never progresses anywhere. A few months later, things have fallen through the cracks. We turn around and we go, okay, well, we better train on that again because it's not going so well. And we repeat the same thing. We get Groundhog's Day again.
I think we've done a really good job talking about what's wrong.
Yeah.
Okay. and really, it started out, why are we here? To me, what we can help with, right, is we can help with your company and bringing your company together to experience a high level of collaboration. We can bring control transparency to the company to allow for that collaboration, and with that we can bring together a sustainable training program. And when you put those three things in place, your company looks differently, it operates differently, and you're much more productive, you're much more effective, and I think it all translates into more, you're much more profitable, and you have a lot happier people.
Yeah, there's we can focus on the gap like you mentioned, but really why we're here is there are the means and methods today. It's not just about a tool. It's not just about a platform. It's there are companies out there that have strung together the processes, the different people, and they've put a tool that's fit to the task in place. And they're doing incredible things.
Yeah.
This isn't a new problem. This labor shortage maybe has highlighted it, but the labor shortage has always been there. We've been managing around that. We're not fixing. There's all these groups out there saying they're fixing the labor shortage. Until we clone people, no one's fixing it. It's not going to get fixed with, you know, a magic tool doing A, B, or C. But
it's going to get fixed with people that utilize technologies in the right way.
When we get people properly trained, when we get them using tools that maximize their efficiency. But what I'm getting at with this idea, this isn't a new concept. The labor shortage isn't an excuse either. It's not, oh, well, we have struggles with labor management because there's just not enough good people. Yes, everyone's dealing with that, but how do we maximize the ones we do have? How do we get more, not just do more, how do we get more with less?
Well, I mean, another thing to be noted along those lines is with labor shortages, you're creating your own labor shortages a lot of times by mismanaging project A and letting that spill over into project B, right? If you manage project A properly, project B is going to pick up right where project A left off, and you're going to, say, visualize a project A peaking at about 70%, and at the same time, project B is starting. Well, if you don't have an exit strategy, and if you don't start winding the crew down on project A, those people are not going to be available for project B. Now you have a labor shortage.
Yep.
You have a supervision shortage. You have a tool shortage. You have an equipment shortage. You have shortages, right? And they're very preventable if you're doing what you should be doing with labor planning. And it shouldn't be we do it on some jobs and we don't on others.
We do it every time.
Yeah, you do it every time.
Every time.
Yeah.
So, again, why are we here? We've talked about some of the problems. We've talked about why it's a challenge, what's going on around us. Why we're here is these methods and this nut has been cracked. There are groups that have made it to the promised land, and we have spoken to thousands of contractors at this point about this, and there's still not very many who are truly in the promised land and reaping that harvest.
I would say it's less than 5%.
Yeah. You know, it's. I mean, I can count on a few hands probably mm-hmm. the total number that are really running out ahead.
Yeah.
There are a lot that are getting close. They can see it on the horizon, and they're starting to run towards it, but there are a few that are already there. And I think why we're here to share. We've had the unique opportunity and the unique perspective of talking to these groups behind the scenes, at conferences, in their four walls, and seeing how this came together, how every journey is different, everyone is unique, but how these journeys hit similar checkpoints and how all these companies came together to get this true vision and concept of workforce management. And I think it's worth noting, when you and I talk to these groups that have made it, you're speaking a different language.
Yes.
You're looking at things in a whole new light to a point where they get just as frustrated when they hear about companies still struggling with it because they know they've been there and they know there is a better way and there is a better place to get to, but you got to take the leap.
It's funny you should say that because you're right. You, in the first 5 minutes of a conversation with a contractor, you can tell whether they are operating the way mm-hmm. We've just been talking about.
There are tools and platforms in the market today for workforce management specifically. Rivet is doing workforce management for construction for specifically MEP contractors, and that is so important. That's really why we're here, is there is a path, there is a means of conquering workforce management, doing more with less, getting a grip on this area of the business to where you can look elsewhere.
Yeah, and it's tangible. You know, we've heard about increasing productivity for years, and do this, and this will help you increase productivity. And I really believe that these platforms that are now available are really bringing a real powerful tool to the industry that has lacked since the start of time.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is a tangible thing. You can touch it, you can feel it, you can see it. So it is real, and it is a game changer.
And I think one of the key aspects and what you can expect from Gary and I is we're not going to sugarcoat it. We're going to tell you exactly like we've seen it. We're going to share the experiences, good and bad, that we've had over the years working with, again, hundreds of thousands of contractors. And why I preface that, why I say that, is it's not just about buying a tool and implementing it. We've seen that too often. Someone buys the tool. It's the silver bullet approach. This will magically solve itself now. I bought the tool. I did my job. No, that is just the first door opening to then instill this practice, to then pull all these people together, to then standardize the training and get the right tasks in these right processes in place.
Yeah, it's a tool like any other tool. You need to use it properly, and it's going to create a foundation for you to better your processes and be more consistent with your deliveries.
We have all these problems. There's these challenges, I should say. We have these obstacles in front of us with workforce management. There are contractors who have navigated them successfully. We're trying to help share those experiences of how those groups got there, what the benefits were, what the obstacles and challenges looked like along the way. But this program that you and I are putting on is really a guide to how to think about workforce management, how to break it down, how to avoid the common pitfalls, and how to reach that destination that just about every contractor is really trying to chase. There's no contractor that we've come across that says, you know what, I've just got too many overqualified people trying to apply to my business. We just have, you know, all the work perfectly lining up. Labor is just so easy. We've never heard that.
No.
Not the case. And so we're here to help more groups get to a point where they can stay on top of and be proactive with their workforce management. We're going to talk about how to define and visualize workforce management in your own organization. We'll talk about how groups have resolved this, how they've put training programs in place, how they have and have not leveraged the tools. We'll talk about what other tools are out there. We'll talk about some of the areas around workforce management. How does workforce management impact accounting practices and productivity measurements? How does workforce management impact recruiting? And what can we expect when we get these things in place? We're going to cover a lot.